Hey, this is Kevin Weatherby of Save the Cowboy. I want you to toe that stirrup, throw a leg over the cantle, take a deep seat, and pull your hat down tight. I ain't gonna tolerate no whining or griping, so let's all strike a long trot down that narrow trail and learn how to ride with God. Come on! What you waiting on? Let's go.
All right, good evening, everyone. I would like to give you guys some announcements, but we didn't do it this morning, so I don't really know what to announce. So there's like Cowboy Crew coming up, probably in May sometime. That's going to be a Ty Weber deal. You'll have to get a hold of him. As far as that, I don't know what we have for announcements. We didn't really talk about it. So with that, we'll just go ahead and get right after it. I'll just go ahead and start with the opening prayer, and we'll see how this goes. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this message that we're about to hear. We pray that the good news that I'm about to present does not fall on deaf ears, but helps lift those that are in down and out and show them that they're in fact good enough. Please bless each and every one here tonight and online as we go about this week. Please be with everyone in Israel, and please be with our troops as they hopefully go over there and help defend Israel. And as always, be with those who are fighting the battles that we just don't know anything about. Just give them the courage that they need, give them the strength they need, give them the guidance they need. And I know I'm one of them ones that I always talk about, but yeah, just keep watch over all of us and kind of help us out from our day-to-day struggles. It's these things I ask in your name. Amen. All right, so last week I kind of went on to this whole deal about good enough and what's good enough to get into heaven and all the things that go along with that. And I started it off with a quote, so I'm gonna go ahead and do that again with leading into this one. This one's from Charles Spurgeon. It says, the evidence that I am saved does not lie in the fact that I preach or that I do this or that. All my hope lies in this, that Jesus Christ came to save sinners. I am a sinner. I trust in him, that he came to save me, and I am saved. So that's what this is really all about. You know, the good enough thing is, it's that day-to-day struggle we have with being good enough. Last week, and I went through everything, I talked about my struggles in being good enough with work, with relationships, with my kids, with my ex-wives, with just work, with people, just in general, just always having that feeling I wasn't good enough to be where I'm at or to do the things that I want to do or anything like that. And here ever since pretty much I turned to Christ and started kind of changing my ways and following him, things have slowly started to get better. And, you know, it wasn't everything just fell on my lap and everything changed my life. I mean, it's been a day-to-day struggle, and it's that fight to be good enough. And turning to Christ has made that day-to-day life so much easier. I know that now that everything that I've been through, watching my kids grow up, raising my boys, all the stuff that I've been through with my personal stuff, that the whole entire time I didn't think I was good enough, I really was. With this good enough stuff, it's being good enough to go to heaven. So I'm going to take a poll. You know, you always read, we did a poll. I'm going to take a poll. Everybody in here believe in heaven? Raise your hand, shake your head, blink your eyes, whatever. All right. So those of you online, listening at home, on your way to work, whatever, I just did a poll. Like 100% of the people here believe there's a heaven. So that's factual evidence right there, because I just took that poll. My dog believes in it too. He's wandering around trying to figure out what's going on. So I like to do the whole Google research thing. And I kind of heard that in the Old Testament, there wasn't really any talk about heaven. The only thing that was really referred to as heaven was dwelling in the house of the Lord. So Old Testament times, you know, there wasn't the true word of heaven. Is this thing working still? It wasn't the true word of heaven. It was dwelling in the house of the Lord. It was living in paradise. That's where we are to go, is in the Old Testament, was to be in paradise in the house of the Lord. But here, New Testament times, it talks about heaven and what have you. And obviously, you know, that's where we all want to go. That's where we hope to end up in the end. With that, John 14:2-3 says, My father's house has many rooms, and by my father's house, he's meaning God. If that were not so, would I, Jesus, have told you, you being you guys here, being me, you guys, you online, everybody else, that is the you that he's talking about. I have told you that I am going to be there to prepare a place for you. And if I, being Jesus, being God, being all of that above us, go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you, I mean, that's, we're talking about all of us, that you also may be where I am. That's that heaven part. That's that dwelling in the house of the Lord. That's that. He's got all these rooms in his house for us. That's that heaven. That's that paradise. So with all this, I want to throw a little twist at you on this, because it's we try to turn to the Bible to figure out the good and figure out how we're supposed to live our life. Like I had talked earlier last week in the last sermon, was a 613 Jewish laws. We got the Ten Commandments. But let's think about this for a minute. How many years ago was the Bible written? So you got to think all these laws and the Ten Commandments. I mean, not that much has changed, but if you think about it, back when the Bible was written and all the biblical years and stuff like that, they had slavery, and slavery was okay. We can't have slavery now. Heaven forbid we have slavery now, man. That would be the end of the days here in America. But let's think about it. I mean, so if we go into the Jewish law and they kind of talk about some of the slavery stuff. Leviticus 25:43 says, not to work the slaves oppressively. So, I mean, there's the biblical law about, you know, you're allowed to have slaves, you just got to follow the guidelines on how to have slaves. We can't do that now. So, obviously, being that good, this was something good. If you followed this law, you were doing good. But this was about slaves. We can't do that now. So, obviously, you know, we have that change in times where, obviously, we don't have slaves now. Something that is, you know, good back then is bad now. And then stuff that we have today is good for us, but would have been evil back in the day, back in biblical terms, when they were writing the Bible. So even now, even to this day, just taking it out of America and just putting it into different cultures, you know, different cultures, different religions, stuff like that. Our good versus somebody else's good is completely different. Our evil versus somebody else's evil, completely different. So how do we really go about this being good enough and figuring out what we really have to do in our day-to-day lives to just keep trying to be better, to do that good, to follow all these laws, and you know, to kind of touch back on that slavery stuff. I mean, we got Exodus 21:2. A Hebrew slave shall be released after 6 years. So yeah, you can have a slave, but in order to be good, you got to release them after 6 years. You know, there's that good feeling, you know, oh, I had some slaves, but I released them after 6 years. Deuteronomy 15:13 says, not to send the freed slave away empty-handed. So you've kept this person for 6 years, now you're freeing them, but you got to give them some stuff, you know. That's your do-good part of the day. That makes you feel good. You released your slaves, you gave them a little something to go home with. And then I couldn't find the verse after I read it. I kind of went to go back to it. But it said, if a slave was to run away from you and they were to go off to a different city or whatever, or if they were to go find another home, like you couldn't turn that slave away. You couldn't tell that slave, oh no, you got to go back to where you came from. Like you couldn't do that. That was a law. That was a biblical law that you had to open your home or your city or your what have you to the slaves. And it was completely fine. So yeah, we had that, that's that whole different culture thing, you know, looking at when all this stuff was written versus how it is today, it's completely different. So we got to try and figure out that line of what's good now versus what was good back then. So something that's basically a no-no that's gonna get you kinda not allowed to be in heaven, it's that, And the biggest part of it is mistreating someone. So if somebody has turned their life to God and you mistreat them, that's supposed to be a guaranteed, like, you're not allowed to go to heaven. But as we go a little further into this, we'll figure out why, in essence, it's okay. So mistreating someone. This is a sin. This is why we are here. I'm right here right now to tell you that we have all sinned. I've sinned I don't know how many times today. So if you look at the whole term of just mistreating someone, man, I've cussed today. I had a beer at lunch. And I didn't get drunk, I mean, but I had a beer at lunch. You know, just the little things that you don't really think about in your day-to-day lives that might be a sin, like, we do it. It's just part of our everyday culture. You know, it's not something that, I don't know, I guess if you put a lot of thought into it, you can change your ways, but if it's just something that's been a part of your day-to-day life, it's really hard to kind of step away from that. Like I said, I sinned a bunch today. I do it every day. It's just certain things. It's just kind of how it falls together. But when I was kind of doing my research on this, it was kind of like, when does this all start? Like, at what age do we start counting our sins? Like, and the best I could figure is, man, as soon as you pop right out, don't start sinning because it's not good. But like, is there a way to like undo your sins? Well, no, once you sinned, you sinned. Like there used to be, you had to sacrifice the animal and all the blood and blah, 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 blah. That was a different kind of culture. You know, you're supposed to do all these sacrifices to have your sins forgotten. Well, luckily for us, we have Jesus, you know, so we don't have to sacrifice goats anymore or chickens or what have you. We don't have to do that. So kind of going into a little bit more of these 613 Jewish laws, a couple of them that, I don't know, I'm gonna list off a few of them. Some of them I kind of find kind of funny. Leviticus 19:18, to love your neighbor as yourself. So with that, it's like, be a reflection of what you want. So if you're supposed to love your neighbor as thyself, just kind of picture yourself as that mirror. You're presenting yourself to them on how you want them to treat you. That's just that reflection. You just, what you want, you have to give in order to get back what you want in return. Leviticus 19:17. This one, I do this at work, and you know, it's just kind of like, I don't know, most of us in here are all blue collar guys. It's kind of part of our daily lives. And Leviticus 19:17 says, not to embarrass others. Like, we harass each other all day long. It's just part of our job. Like, I think it's part of the handbook for my job description is to just harass everybody on the job site. That's part of it. You know, that's just how we kind of go about our day. That makes our day a little better. You know, if we're all just straight laced and doom and gloom. I mean, I work with explosives. I could potentially die at any given time. If you want to know more about that, ask me what happened yesterday at work. Yeah, we're not going to talk about that one online, but meet up with me after this, and I'll tell you the do's and don'ts of blasting 101. But that's that whole thing. Like Monday, I'm gonna harass this guy if he still has a job. So Kevin did. So this is Deuteronomy 6:7. Kevin did the Torah series. So in Deuteronomy 6:7, it says, "Teach your children the Torah." So if you guys, I don't know, he did this, what was it, last month or something like that. He went through this whole entire series on the Torah. So it says in Deuteronomy 6:7, you're supposed to teach your children this. Zach, my bad, dude. Hope you were paying attention when Kevin was teaching you. Oh, man. Let's see here. I have another one. Where it is? There it is. All right. Leviticus 19:26 says, oh, this one gets me. Not to engage in astrology. So I got a pretty good friend that I kind of tried to, you know, date. And we hit it off. I mean, her and I were great friends. Man, we went out all the time. Everything was super cool. This was, I don't know, a year or two ago. Like, there was something there. It was pretty cool little, like, thing we had going. And, like I said something to her about dating her, and she's like, oh, I can't date you. And I'm like, well, that's kind of weird. Why? And she goes, well, your birthday. And I was like, well, what's my birthday got to do with anything? And she's super Christian, super religious. Like, she's pretty awesome. But she's like, yeah, our zodiac signs don't align. And I'm like, wait a minute here. Like, you know more than I do about this. And you're telling me because my birthday is wrong, we can't have a relationship? She's like, yeah. you're a Cancer. We're like fire and water. We can't do it. I'm like, all right then. So that one gets me when I read that one. And I've kind of known that, but think about it. I mean, to kind of go into the astrology part for those of you who don't know what astrology is, and I imagine everybody here does, but the Google definition, because I love some Google, the Google definition of astrology is the study of movements and relative positions of the celestial bodies interpreted as having an influence on human affairs of the natural world. So I'm a Cancer, so I kind of had to look and see what my astrology thing was for today, just so I could kind of bring that forth to you guys, and you could understand what I have to go through on a day-to-day basis that I didn't even know I was dealing with. As soon as I can figure out how to work my phone. Oh, where'd it go? Give me a second here. This is embarrassing. I swear I know what I'm doing. All right, so Cancer. Cancer's June 21st through July 22nd. Represented by the crab, Cancer seamlessly weaves between the sea and the shore, representing Cancer's ability to exist in both emotional and material realms. Cancers are highly intuitive, and their psychic abilities manifest in tangible spaces. But just like the hard-shelled crustaceans, this water sign is willing to do whatever it takes to protect itself emotionally. In order to get to know this sign, you're indeed going to have to establish trust. Well, I don't even know what that means. So I kind of looked around at everybody else's astrology sign, and I think I identify as all 12 of them, or however many they are. I mean, if you think about it, if you look into it, like all these astrology signs, if you pick it apart, like you can probably fit your way into whatever astrology sign you want to identify as. But as it says here in Leviticus 19:26, we are not to engage in astrology. Who would have known? You know, we're not being good if we're looking into astrology. All right. Next one. And I gave Maddie grief about this one today. Deuteronomy 18:11. You're not to converse with wizards. So she is no longer allowed to watch Lord of the Rings, and she's not supposed to have her little stick upstairs doing spells on people. Nope, we're not allowed to do that anymore. You're not good enough, Maddie, because you have a little stick. I'm just kidding. All right, so this one's funny because, you know, puberty didn't hit me until I was about 43, and I started to grow a beard. So Leviticus 19:27, thou shalt not shave off your beard. So it took me 43 years to grow a beard. Now I can't shave it off. So I'm stuck with this like Joe Dirt beard thing I got going. All right. So on to the next one. For the parents and for the kids. This one is kind of cool. Like, you know, biblical stuff. Got to raise your kids up the right way. Leviticus 14:3. Nope, that's a 19. I can't write. Fear your father and your mother, Zach. All right. Exodus 20:12, respect your father and mother, Zach. Exodus 21:15, do not strike your father and mother. Exodus 21:15, do not curse your father or your mother. Poor Zach's got to be here today and I get to point fingers at him. But yeah, I mean, there's out of these 613 Jewish laws, like there's so much. Like, I don't know, I kind of find humor in some of them, like, you know, you can't converse with wizards. I mean, if anybody knows a wizard, could you please send them my way? I kind of want to converse with them. Just saying, I've never met one before. But yeah, like 613 of them, these are the ones that they kind of stuck out. I read them all today for some reason, but I decided it was a good idea. For all you horse lovers, Deuteronomy 17:13 says, the king must not have too many horses. So if you've got too many horses and you identify as a king, you probably ought to get rid of some because you're not supposed to have too many. All right. So everyone that is going through something that you don't want others to know about, this one kind of sticks out to me. Deuteronomy 23:3. Listen to me, all of you men of Israel. Do not be afraid as you go out and fight your enemies today. Do not lose heart or panic or tremble before them. So when I say that is going through something that nobody knows about, man, that's that internal struggle, that's that internal war, that battle that you're having, you know. Don't be afraid. Don't lose your heart. Don't panic. Don't tremble before your before others. Just fight that good fight inside of you. And for those of you that are actually fighting real wars, man, don't tremble. Don't be weak. Go out there and do what you're supposed to do. So that's kind of my dipping into that 613 Jewish laws. All right, so I want to kind of go into a little bit more about the good enough stuff. So we're trying to be perfect. All this good enough, like following all the laws, all the commandments, everything. Like, we're trying to be perfect. We're trying to get that, we're trying to reach that perfection. Even though we all know that we'll never be perfect, we still go out every day and we try just a little bit more every day. You know, and if you don't gain just that little bit every single day, you'll never even get close to being perfect. But Jesus said it himself on the Sermon on the Mount, you know, like he's set that bar so high, we're not supposed to be able to obtain perfection. Like we can't, there's no way for us to do it. Like I said, I sinned like 40 times today. I've already out of the running for being perfect. I mean, I may be perfect at sinning, but I'll never be good enough as far as it comes to, you know, following the 613 rules or the 10 commandments or any of that. I'll never be perfect. I'm gonna try, but I've already reaching that perfection is gonna be a little tough. But always keep this in mind though, is even though you'll never have that, like reach that perfect level, you're always gonna be good enough. God made you in his image, am I right? So obviously, if he made you to be who you are and what you're doing, like, you're good enough. You're perfect in God's eyes. I bounce around all over the place because that's just who I am. I kind of got that, like, weird ADD thing going some days. Oh, Jesus died for us on the cross. You know, and this is kind of like the summary of all this good enough stuff is, even though we don't reach that perfection, he died on the cross and he asked for God to forgive our sins. And really, even though we sin, even though we're not good enough, all we have to really do is just accept his forgiveness. And that's all it takes. All we have to do is just accept that. And it's for all of us. I kind of go into it here in a minute, but it doesn't matter if you were a murderer or a thief or anything like that. As long as you accept his forgiveness, that's all it takes to get into heaven. That's all we really need. So if we can all agree, I mean, we all kind of sin against God's children. You know, each and every one of us in here and online, we're all God's children. And if you think about it, if I sin against somebody, some of the stuff, you know, I'm saying is a sin, you know, it's some of the little things in here. You know, I haven't done any of the big stuff. But some of those little sins, you almost kind of brush it off. Like, it wasn't really that big deal. Like heckling with your buddies at work or, you know, whatever. Like, that's a sin. But we kind of brush it off as, meh, it's not really that big of a deal. But what about when the table's turned and it's coming back at you? Say you're having a bad day and somebody's heckling you. You know, you take that in a whole different light than you do if you're the one being the heckler. But how do you react? Like, if you're the one given the grief, you know, you're kind of playing along with it, and it seems like that other person's playing along with it, like, that's all right. I mean, if they're all right with it and you're all right with it, for me, that's kind of one thing. But when that table's turned, like, I've had my bad days at work, and I flat out told the guys that work for me, like, hey, today's not the day. And then they kind of, okay, and then they just bother everybody else and they leave me alone. I go sit in my pickup and take notes or whatever I do in my truck. But yeah, it's just, if the whole sin thing against our, you know, God's children, I mean, that's what it's all about is trying to stay away from that. I mean, yeah, we heckle. It's a sin. But there's that line. You know, once you've crossed that line where it's no longer a heckle and you're just berating somebody and just belittling them and just taking it too far, you know, you got to find out where that line is before you step over it. Oh, Luke 6:31 says, this is the golden rule. Do to others as you would have done, or as you would have them done to you. Sorry. It's that whole reading and trying to talk thing. So Luke 6:31, do to others as you would have them do unto you. That's that mirror. That's that reflection. You know, that's the golden rule. It says it right there. You know, if you don't want somebody to treat you poorly, don't treat them poorly. It's pretty much simple as that. That's that sinning part of it. You know, don't sin against them. They won't sin against you. I'm going to kind of dip into Romans 8, verse 1 through 4. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The laws of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He set his own son in a body like the bodies with the sinners we have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us, who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. God sent his only son as a sacrifice for us. All of our sins have been forgiven. We just have to accept that forgiveness. And that's one of those kind of a daily struggle. Like, how do you really accept that forgiveness? And I don't have an answer for it. I mean, it's all here in the Bible. I mean, but how do you accept that? I mean, that's up to the individual person. It really is. You know, when I was baptized, I mean, Nate was this morning. I mean, the sense of, I don't know, the sense of just when you step out, when you step up, when Kevin and Ty pull you up, it's just a different feeling when you come out of there. I mean, Nate's shaking his head. Yes, he just lived it this morning, and welcome to the family, Nate. You know, it's a great feeling. But for me, I mean, accepting that forgiveness, I want to say that's what it feels like when you're over here getting baptized and you come back up out of that water and you just feel so much different. For me, that's got to be what that, once you feel that you've actually accepted his forgiveness, it's got to just be right up there with getting baptized. It really does. So we're going to kind of continue on with all these fun laws and rules and commandments, and we're just going to hop into the Ten Commandments. And I mean, I think most people in here can say that, we live by the Ten Commandments. You know, Ten Commandments this, Ten Commandments that. Who all knows the Ten Commandments? Uh-huh. Yeah, that's what I thought. It's not that easy. But, you know, a lot of us say that we follow the Ten Commandments, but a lot of people don't know what they are. So I'm just going to give you the Ten Commandments. All right, so I'm just going to just read right through it, so bear with me as I struggle. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt and out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make yourself an image in the form of anything. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor. There's your Ten Commandments. So I hope you all wrote that down, remembered it up here. So that way when I ask you again later what the Ten Commandments are, you can recite them, because I already forgot. But with the Ten Commandments, I mean, that was written as the slaves were being freed. Like, God, like, Moses had this. Like, think about it. If you were slaves and you were pent up and you couldn't do anything, and all of a sudden you were freed, like, you had no rules. You had no laws to follow. You just ran around like a bunch of crazy people. Like, that's why we have laws today. You know, we have all of the city laws, the county laws, the state laws, the federal laws. Like, that's to keep us from doing stupid stuff. And you got to think about it. Like, the laws we have today, some of it actually comes out of biblical stuff. You know, if you can take pieces of laws that we have today, just city whatever laws, and you can probably trace them back to some sort of biblical law. So that's kind of the cool thing about how all the Ten Commandments work and the 613 Jewish commands. Like, all of our laws to this day somehow or another come from, you know, the Bible. So my buddy John Wick, so that's one of my more favorite movies. Winston runs the Continental Hotel, and one of the rules is you're not supposed to conduct business on Continental grounds. So you're not supposed to do hitman stuff on the Continental grounds. So Winston actually says to John Wick, he's like, rules. Without them, we live amongst the animals. That's that. That's the law. You know, if we're not following the law, we're just living amongst the animals. You know, if we're not following the commandments, we're living amongst the animals. We have all of this stuff to make us good. If we don't follow that good, we're just living amongst the animals, man. Like that little part, like, that just struck with me when I was writing this one today. You know, as we start to close on this thing, I just really want you all to know that you are good enough. Like, just keep going out and trying just a little bit more every single day. And you're good enough. You know, when we kind of look at, you know, Jesus on the cross and what have you, he was on the cross and he cries out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they have done. Think about that. I mean, he's asking, he's begging to just forgive us. He died on the cross for our sins. And then if you kind of look at the thieves on the cross next to him, I mean, the thieves on the cross, they got to experience something that none of us will get to experience. The one thief, he was a believer. Like, he knew that he was going to go to a better place. Like, he knew he was going to go be with Jesus. But the other thief, he didn't believe him, all that. And in the end, Jesus replies to him. He's like, man, I assure you today, you will be with me in paradise. So this guy who was not a believer, who just was against everything, like just didn't have that faith, Jesus could sit there and just look at him and say, I assure you that you will be with me. And that's, you know, you're talking like murderers and thieves and all that stuff. I mean, we're all going to the same place. It's kind of an eye-opening experience, you know, if you think about it that way, that you watch some of them TV shows about some of the worst prisons in the world. And you've got those guys that are just diehard Christians. They've got murder counts for days, and they've given their lives to God. Like, that same individual is going to be up there with us. He's going to be in paradise with us. And hopefully, you know, he's changed his ways, and that he really has accepted Jesus' forgiveness. You know, and they've changed their ways, and they're no longer going to have that sinful life. They're not going to try and continue their streak and their all that good stuff. So I mean, just repent. That's what you got to do. I mean, if you've sinned, just repent. You're good enough. But just remember that no sin is too bad to be forgiven. Right there on the cross, man. There's the three of them. Jesus in the middle, and he forgave them. He died on that cross for the murderers, for the thieves, and for those of us that are good, that are trying to be good, that are trying to do good. Jesus died, and he asked for our sins to be forgiven. Hold on, I just lost my place. Yeah, so like I said, that's all we gotta do. With all this stuff for being good, how to try and be good, how to live our lives better, it's all there in black and white in the Bible. And we got all of our laws, and really just be a reflection of who you want or how you want others to treat you. And in the end, it's finished. You know, that's pretty much how it is. Like, accept that forgiveness and just be finished. And with that, let's go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for just reaching out and putting your hand on me and just guiding me, giving everybody here your word. Thanks for giving me the strength to just get this out. I know this has been something that's plagued me for quite a few years, and I finally was able to get it onto paper and just get it out there in front of everybody. And I can't thank you enough for just lending me that hand, just guiding me. I mean, all I can ask is that you just reach out and place your hand on everybody else and just guide them along in the ways that you've guided me. I know there's people out there that are they're going through the same struggles that I've gone through, and just use me as that conduit, as that pipeline, and just show others that, man, you are good enough. You just got to keep struggling. Just keep fighting that fight. If you're struggling, just keep moving forward. If you got that internal battle, you just got to keep struggling through it. In the end, you're good enough. You really are. You're always going to be good enough in God's eyes. For those that are got those battles going on, just watch over them. For those that are trying to protect our country, I'm always going to go to this because my boy in the Navy, but always just watch over all of our people that are trying to defend our country and do all the good things that none of the rest of us really have the ability to do. So these things I ask in your name. Amen.